when we come to this fourth church in a town called, a city called Thyatira. And it's actually the smallest of the seven cities, but the church gets the longest message given by Jesus Christ to any of the seven churches. And it's not a beautiful city. It's not known for its culture or religion or education or even its politics. It was a blue-collar, working-class city. It is a city of industry and commerce. It's like Pittsburgh of today. It featured all kinds of occupations and jobs that were known all over the New Testament world. Lydia, from the Acts 16 passage, was a businesswoman who had come from Thyatira. And one of the commercial industries for that city was known as for the production of dyed materials, especially clothing. And they were also known for making shoes. And because of all this commerce, it became the home of several guilds, or what we would call unions today. And Barclay, the commentator, added that there were several different unions that covered many different professions. There was wool, leather, linen, bronze, garment makers, dyers, potters, bakers, and even those that dealt with slaves. And each of those unions, each of those guilds, had features to it. Each had their own deity. Each had their own festivals or parties, and each of them, those festivals that featured drinking and immoral behavior. And there was a threat going on against the Church of Jesus Christ. It wasn't of some specific religion. It was a threat of association with those unions and their practices and their immoral behavior. And so we come to the counselor once again in verse 18, and we read this: "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze." And so once again, we have this angel who is receiving this message from Jesus Christ. And once again, John is asked to write a specific message. And we're going to keep stressing this each time, that what churches need is the Word of God. What is the written Word of God that is given? And Christ here identifies himself with specific features to that church. He's the Son of God, which establishes that he is God. He has eyes like flames of fire, and these eyes, they're not loving eyes at this point. It's judgment that's going on here. And feet like burnished bronze. His feet had this glowing purity and a power to stamp out anything that needed to be dealt with. And he's identifying himself to this church in this language. It indicates that this message is very serious. He's not playing games here. And so we come to the commendation in verse 19. And he says, "I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first." So he understands this word works is articular, which means these people were involved in all kinds of church activities. They're serious about their work at church and their work at their job. And then he has full knowledge of their love, and that's very good. It's the only church that's commended for its love. Ephesus was rebuked because it had lost its first love, and this church is commended for its love. So we got a loving church, a forgiving church, and he also has full knowledge of their faith. They trusted the Lord. They looked to the Lord. And then he has full knowledge of their service. That word service is the same for which we get the word deacon. It refers to ministry service in the church. So these believers took their church life seriously. It was sacred service. And then he had full knowledge of their perseverance. The believers at this church were not quitters. They endured things. So to try and say that they weren't believers, it just wouldn't be accurate. But he says this, he says, your deeds, your latter deeds are greater than your first. So this church had developed over time. They were better developed. They were mature. And both in the numbers and the quality of their ministry was better developed. And Jesus is commending them for that. And point number three, we see the chastening. Verse 20. Actually, we're going to go through 20 through 23. He's chastening them much. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. So they were taking steps that would not be pleasing to God. And so they're tolerating something here. They're tolerating this woman to have power in places that she shouldn't. And she's leading this church in a direction of what is idolatrous and immoral. This woman in this church is using her charisma and her power to lead it in such a way that would not honor God. And this use of this name Jezebel is associating her with an evil woman from the Old Testament. We find in 1 Kings 16 that it was King Ahab's wife. She calls herself a prophetess. God didn't call her that. She calls herself this. And the Greek indicates that she went around continually telling people that she was a prophetess. And people believed her. They bought this stuff. And then she led people to idolatry and immorality. This woman who calls herself a prophetess doesn't teach them to love the word of God and the Lord. But she's leading them to idolatry. She's leading them to immorality. And there's a problem here. And so Christ gives this church and this woman plenty of time to repent. He points out that he gave this church that time, but she doesn't want to repent of her immorality. She has no desire to change at all. The Greek here indicates that she doesn't have any desire or even any wish to change because she loves her position, her power. And he promises that there'll be an immediate judgment that's going to be given to this church. He'll personally make this woman physically sick. The words throw her on a bed literally means Jesus Christ is going to cause this woman to be bedridden, unable to walk, work, or stand. And he's personally going to cause great affliction to those associated with her. Cast into great tribulation is not a reference to the great tribulation. There's no definite article, the, before it. he's promising to do here is to cause all kinds of negative catastrophes to hit those who follow this woman. Cause people in this church to experience unprecedented misery and hardships unless they repent. And he'll personally execute and kill people in that church. He's not mincing words here. Kill children, her children, to stop this, these lies permeating the church. This is scary stuff. And the church will know that Jesus Christ continually searches every person who goes to that church, and to have an understanding that what he wants is truth. The word searches is the one that means Jesus Christ carefully examines the minds and hearts of people who go to his church. That word mind is one that refers to the part that controls the will and the affections. And so he's going to take care of this. And the church will know that Jesus Christ is the one who rewards people in the church. If Christ sees that a person is really after his word to understand it and apply it, and they're reverent and they're repentant and they're teachable, he's going to reward that. And then if he sees that a person is being immoral and non-repentant, he's going to judge them. But then we see the counsel here in verses 24 and 25. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. So there's some of the church who had not followed what this woman was teaching, this idolatrous, these immoral things. In fact, the language makes it clear that they did not really know the extent of this satanic activity. They did not hold to her teaching and had known the deep things of Satan. He says, I place no other burden on you. So it's possible to love God, his word, and grow and repent in light and stay faithful until he comes. And then lastly, we see the challenge, verses 26 through 28, and even into 29. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. As when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we see a message to the unbeliever in Thyatira. It's kind of a reverse thing here. There's this turning point in the history of the church in which many unbelievers had infiltrated the church, really not believed in God. And so the overcomer and word keeper will be given authority over the nations. So when Jesus Christ reigns on earth, one who has believed in him and then purposed to understand and obey him will be given authority. And then that overcomer and word keeper will be given the responsibility to judge and shepherd the nations. And that describes a key role in sharing the work of Jesus Christ. He'll actually carry out judgment and management level responsibilities when Christ reigns on the earth. And the overcomer and word keeper will be given the morning star. He'll have the privilege of being part of the judgment of Satan, who's called the star of the morning. He'll have the privilege of sharing in the majestic second coming of Christ, and he'll be given a share of Christ's Davidic kingdom and will actually reign and have honor. And then Jesus Christ has a message for the believer in Thyatira, and that message is to hear what the Spirit of God says. Just don't sit under the ministry of that woman. Stay focused on true and sound teaching. Don't allow yourself to be lured into some idolatrous and immoral worship. You see, Thyatira was a literal church that had a problem in that it allowed this woman to lead and teach and head people toward idolatry and immorality. And R.H. Charles, who is a commentator, said by the end of the second century, the church was gone and the people were dead. But it also represents any individual who promotes this kind of teaching and false doctrine, and any who would sit under it and move away from its biblically right. Christ warns individuals that he knows every one of them and will judge them.